I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scottish Sun podcast in association with bookmakers William Hill. I'm Robert Grieve, and with me today is Andy Devlin and Colin Duncan. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Robert.
Afternoon, Robert.
It's just a couple of days, Andy, before the big Scotland game against England, World Cup qualifier, Hampden Park, Saturday night in Glasgow. It doesn't get much bigger than this, does it?
No, it does not. It's a huge game for both countries. It's one of those ones, you look at the squads on paper and, you know, England are light years ahead of where we are just now with the quality, certainly in the front four that they possess. But we're thinking, looking ahead, the weather's not going to be great. Hampden's going to be absolutely rammed. To quote an old cliche, a real kind of buzz about this fixture again. I mean, I think it was diluted for a number of years, obviously, with the end of the home internationals, but I really think we're back to looking forward to Scotland-England games. Scotland have to win, so you can say that, you know, they're underdogs, and the Tartan Army inside Hampden on Saturday night will be expecting a victory, or at least hoping for a victory.
Colin, what do you expect from Scotland? As Andy says, England on paper, when you look at the squad individually, the players that they have, especially going forward, as Andy says, light years is how he's described it. What do you expect from Scotland in this game?
I'm expecting probably the same as we got against Slovenia. It's got the same vibe, same feel about the camp. They went into that game knowing they had to win, their backs were against the wall, and it seemed to have the effect of relaxing the players and relaxing the manager. It was like all or nothing. We lose, we've had it, we win, it keeps going. They went out, they got a best performance of the campaign, kept it going. Same scenario again against, you know, when we were up against England on Saturday. Everybody expecting England to win. Scotland going out there with nothing to lose. I think that Scotland will get a result, whether it's a draw or a victory. I think they'll come out with some kind of positive result. But you talked about if it's played in paper, you just look at those two squads and it's a total mismatch all the way right through the squad, you know, from goalkeepers. Probably goalkeeper maybe the one area where Craig Gordon might get into their team, but you go through the rest of the team, defender, midfield, up front, you know, England are streets ahead of Scotland.
Andy, when you look at the manager, Gordon Strachan, he's almost going on a game-by-game basis at the minute, given the way the campaign and the group is looking. I think, consider the future at various points in this campaign. Do you think the spotlight is on him? Obviously, if we lose the game, it's going to be a huge blow to our chances, but how do you assess Gordon Strachan and how he's performed as a manager for Scotland in this group?
Focus shouldn't be on Gordon Strachan, but, you know, there's a certain extent that it is, and I'm pretty uncomfortable with Gordon. This, as you say, it's almost like Scott Brown, a kind of game-to-game, you know, kind of set-up just now. You're either committed to the job or you're not, and, you know, I'm comfortable with how the campaign is going. I agree with Colin, had we lost to Slovenia, Gordon would have probably walked away. Just seem to be limping on now, you know, from one game to the next. There was doubts before the first England game at Wembley whether it would be Gordon Strachan's last. They decided to keep going. I don't think that sets a good example. I don't think it's good for team harmony and spirit. You see the England players this week mucking in with the Marines for 3 days. I mean, Gareth Southgate, I think he's trying to reconnect with England supporters, because if you look at the salaries and the lifestyles that English players lead, and Terry Butcher spoke about it again in the build-up to the last game at Wembley, how the whole thing had, you know, the fans had almost just kind of disheartened with the whole thing. But I think Gareth Southgate has got the right idea. He's trying to reconnect with the supporters, lifeblood obviously of not just any club side but the national team as well. The Tartan Army, you know, 1998, as we all know, was the last time we qualified for a major finals. They have steadfastly stood by the national team in the intervening years. There have been some pretty desperate results, some pretty desperate performances, but they've never been found wanting. You know, for them, more than anything else, I think the way Gordon has gone about it, I just feel he's almost limping on from one game until the next. I don't see anything positive.
Do you think, Andy, then it would help for him?
The SFA should have taken the matter out of Gordon Strachan's hands. If Gordon Strachan felt, you know, I'm not sure here, can we go on to the next game? That shouldn't have been Gordon Strachan's decision to make. Somebody at the SFA should have said, listen, thank you very much for your efforts. We can tell that you're a bit undecided, you're a bit unsure. We need to qualify for Russia. Therefore, we need a manager that's going to be in and focus solely on that, not what they might be doing 3 months down the line. So for me, there's faults on both sides. The SFA should have been big enough to stand up and say, no, listen, enough's enough, Gordon, thank you very much for your fine, but we're going to move on. We're going to move on with a manager that is 100% committed.
For me, Gordon Strachan's as good a manager as we can get. Colin, I understand what Andy's saying, and I agree with him to a certain extent, but do you think he should show more commitment to Scotland? He should at least say how long he's envisioning being the Scotland manager, or is it only natural that we take things game by game, because it's international football and that's what happens?
Well, under normal circumstances you'd probably say yes, you know, let's get it sorted out, you're staying, you're going, what's happening, let's have a long term plan. But you know, it is almost as if we're kind of bumbling on.
We're still in the mix for this campaign.
You know, it's not an ideal situation, but it seems to be working.
Are we in the mix?
Yeah, if we win this game on Saturday, we're right in the mix.
I mean,
it worked, you know, with the same speculation before the Slovenia game, and it went out there and put on their best show under Strachan for about 2 years. You know, they only won 1-0, but I mean, they created about a dozen chances at that. I mean, I can't recall the last time I watched a Scotland side that created a dozen chances, first time in about 10 years. So there was positive signs, and I get, as I touched on earlier, it's the same feeling this time. Whatever the situation where it was going on in the background with the manager, it doesn't seem to be affecting the players in any negative way. You know, they seem to be behind the manager, they seem to be rallying behind him. You know, that there is an air of positivity coming from the squad, which is encouraging, albeit they have to get out and put on a show, do the business on Saturday against an England team, as we say, is good on paper, not always the case on the pitch. You know, they haven't lost a qualifying game, but they don't totally impress.
Are you unconvinced, Andy, when we talk about the campaign and where we're sitting? I mean, if we win, and it's a big if, obviously, if we win on Saturday, we'd be in 10 points, England are only in 13. But surely I'll right back in the mix if we can do that. It's a big if.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can say that, but I disagree with Colin. I don't think we will get a result. I think England, you think back to what they were latterly towards the end under Roy Hodgson, you know, just lack of leadership. There was no harmony, there was no spirit. I think that's what Gareth Southgate has gone in there and deliberately focused on and worked hard to recreate. And I think he's done that. Yes, Scotland played well at Wembley in patches. We created chances. We gave England problems up until a point. England were utterly ruthless. Utterly ruthless. The weakest part of our side, without any shadow of a doubt, is central defence. And when you look at that front four, you know, Kane, Dele Alli, whoever else is in there on the night, these guys, for me, have the potential to run riot. I mean, the pace these guys possess is frightening. They will undoubtedly give our defence problems. Yeah, I think Scott Brown obviously being there is massive. If he can carry his club form into the environment on Saturday night, equally the same can be said for Stuart Armstrong. These guys are absolutely pivotal in the middle of the park. That's where we could have success. I don't think England have anybody, you know, if Scott Brown's in the mood and Scott Brown's on form, they don't really, you know, an Oxlade Chamberlain against Scott Brown, you would fancy Scott Brown to come out and top. You know, it will be a key area of the park, but defensively, it terrifies me what England could do.
Andy's right, I think we all agree with that, Colin, don't we? Defensively, there's no secret of the fact that that's where Scotland are weakest. And when you look at Harry Kane, for instance, looking at his stats earlier on, he scored 35 goals last season, just finished 8 goals in the last 3 games for Tottenham. I mean, he's coming into this game after an injury as well, he's come back to top form. Are you worried about what he could do to Scotland at Hampden on Saturday?
I mean, he's a top class finisher. You know, to his goal record over the past two seasons at the highest level is phenomenal. You know, you give him a sniff and he's going to put it away. The one thing he doesn't really have is blistering pace, which might suit the Scotland the defence. They can just sit a bit deeper, you know, and give himself that bit of breathing space. You know, you're talking about Raheem Sterling, is the opposite. You know, he's lightning quick, but his finishing is not the strongest part of his game. Harry Kane, he's starting to work his way into that almost world class bracket. He's just that slight notch below. Another season like he has done in the past two seasons, and he'll be right up there. You know, it's no surprise to see him linked with all these top clubs in Europe, keen to get a guy that can put the ball in the back of the net. But I think the Scottish players will be more, even though Harry Kane has been outstanding, I think there'll be other players that will worry them more. You know, Lallana's, you know, he's quick. You also know Sterling's absolutely lightning. Dele Alli, you know, just that those picking up those runs that he makes from the middle of the park, that's the key. That's where Scott Brown, Stuart Armstrong need to come into the equation. You know, you're looking for Scott Brown to, you know, come out and play the game of his life. You know, he really, really needs to grab hold of that game by the scruff of the neck and Scotland need to win that midfield battle. That can set the tone.
Stuart Armstrong's been absolutely amazing for Celtic going forward, but as Colin says, we are going to have to be on the back foot on Saturday night at times, so he's going to have to play a different style from what he's been used to all season at Celtic. There's no doubt he can do it, but for a lot of these guys, I don't think they'll have come up. Certainly the guys that are, you know, up here, they'll not have encountered kind of pace and creativity that these guys possess, that's for sure.
Would you, we all know how well Celtic have done this season, winning the treble, going on beating domestically, we've got six in the squad, would you expect them all to play? You've got Craig Gordon, a cert to start, yeah. Kieran Tierney's looking at right back, you've then got Scott Brown, James Forrest, Stuart Armstrong and Lee Griffiths. Would you, Andy, would you start them all?
James Forrest perhaps not. You know, I would have had Callum McGregor in the squad for a start. I think he's been terrific for Celtic this season. That was surprising that he was left out. But yeah, I mean, Tierney, if he, you know, passes himself fit, as we're led to believe that he would do, you know, that's a bonus undoubtedly.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Snodgrass hasn't played a lot of football. No, Robert Snodgrass, there you mentioned him. He hasn't played a lot of football. Whoever else, you know, even, you know, Dan Fletcher, will he be involved? There's a lot of guys there that haven't played a lot of first team football down south. You know, Snodgrass is probably, if you look at it, our most creative midfielder without a doubt. You know, possesses wonderful talent, but he hasn't played football. And a lot of these guys, you know, they haven't. England at least have had the benefit of these kind of camps and whatnot. While I'm looking forward to the game, Robert, you know, I've got real concerns about how the game will go on the night.
For me, Colin, I think the key could be the Celtic players, given it's only a couple of weeks ago they were playing in the Scottish Cup final. They've been playing at a high level for Celtic, trying to get over that finishing line and being unbeaten and say won the Scottish Cup. Could that be the key? Do you think if they could get them into the side and start them, do you think they could come into this game on a high, given how well the season finished for them at the club?
Yeah, I mean the Celtic players generally this season will feel they are invincible. You know, they're just, you know, when they get out in the pitch every single time, you know, just thinking that they're going to get the result. And 99% of the time this season, you know, that they went out and won the match. A couple of draws would only blemish an entire season. So, I mean, they will be full of confidence. I'd probably go with all six of them. I know that James Forrest didn't start as many games latterly for Celtic, with Brendan Rodgers favouring Patrick Roberts on that side. But I think you need, when you're playing against teams of the calibre of England, then you need pace in your team. You know, you would imagine England would have most of the ball. Scotland are going to have to play on the counter attack. So I would, for that reason, you know, I would have James Forrest in the team. I'm just wondering whether, you know, that, you know, Gordon Strachan's weighing out his team, whether he maybe decides to go with three at the back. You know,
yeah, just it's definitely something he's been thinking about.
Something that he's talking about and trying, you know, give, you know, if you're going with a flat back four and you have Roberts on one side, he's going to probably play Kieran Tierney on the right hand side, he did against Slovenia. You know, that they're going to spend much of the game defending. Scotland are going to be on the back foot. You know, it's going to pin them back, so they're going to find it hard to get forward. And if they do bomb forward, which is a natural instinct, then it's going to leave gaps. You know, I mean, you talked about the players of Kane, Ali, Lallana. These are the type of players that are going to exploit them all day. So I'm just wondering whether they might, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat, go with three at the back, try and just, you know, go at Chelsea and what Arsenal did latterly at the end of the season, which worked. System, it worked, and it worked in big games for them, and it gives, you know, Kieran Tierney and Andrew Robertson, you know, two of the best players in your whole team, just a bit more room to get forward and trying to hurt England down the flanks.
Andy, Lee Griffiths hasn't scored for Scotland yet. We actually put that to Gordon Strachan earlier this week and he wasn't aware of it. He didn't realise that Lee Griffiths hadn't scored for Scotland. And against Slovenia in the last game, he got a bad back injury and was taken off. I think until that point he was playing relatively well. He had a couple of close chances. Do you think he is the type of a player who could, given the chance, get a goal against England? Is he good enough to do that?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I think the biggest compliment you can pay to Lee Griffiths this season is that, you know, when Moussa Dembélé went out injured, Celtic didn't, you know, by and large miss him, because Lee Griffiths came in, stepped up to play. You know, that, think back to that game at Ibrox, Celtic were utterly dominant. You know, Griffiths was outstanding that day. I think he leads. I think under Brendan Rodgers, while he hasn't, you know, featured this, certainly at the start of the season, as much as we like, I think there's a maturity about Lee Griffiths this season which perhaps has been lacking. I think he realises now, you know, he's part of a squad, he's part of a team. His work rate is phenomenal, I think. And he, you know, he'll try and drag the, you know, England centre halves into areas of the park that they don't want to be in. He's a nuisance of a player. He's, you know, he's shown at Celtic, you know, he knows his way to goal. If he gets a chance, then you would back Lee Griffiths to, you know, of all the strikers available, then yeah, Lee Griffiths for me has to start.
Well, you're listening to the Scottish On podcast in association with bookmakers William Hill, myself, Robert Grieve, Andy Devlin and Colin Duncan, as we look ahead to Saturday's Scotland game. Andy, you've been in this newspaper for the last how long?
17 years.
17 years. You've not been to a major tournament to watch Scotland. Do you ever think you will?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think, you know, there's been competitions and sort of qualifying campaigns where you believe that you're close. I think back to, you know, the James McFadden goal in Paris, and, you know, that group that we're in, we're so close to Euro 2008. We've had the playoff against England, you know, 99 for Euro 2000. But I just think the gap, you know, certainly at international level, you know, it's almost kind of mirrored. If you look at the Champions League across Europe, there is such a gap between, you know, Scottish clubs, you know, and those competing at the highest level. Certainly with the Champions League, that's obviously down to finance. But if we're not getting guys that are playing at that level for their clubs, then it's a hell of an ask to pitch them in at international level and go and combat, you know, the likes of, as we've mentioned, you know, Raheem Sterling or Lallana or these guys. It's a huge ask for our boys. We don't have the same amount of players, and it's a broken record at times, but we don't have the same amount of Scots playing at the highest level in England as we obviously used to do. So no, I really fear that. You know, the bigger teams are getting stronger all the time. Obviously we are improving, there's no doubt about that. For me, we're just not good enough to get to that next level. To, you know, qualification used to be a given. It was, you know, whether we could get out of the groups in these tournaments. I just think the bigger teams are now so strong and so far ahead that it's just going to get harder and harder to qualify.
Colin, you're considerably older than Andy and myself. You'll probably be able to remember Scotland in major tournaments easier than we can. It would be fantastic if we could get back to a tournament, wouldn't it? It would lift Scottish football to a level that it's not been at for a long number of years now.
I don't see why we shouldn't be at major tournaments. I mean, when you look at, you know, look at Wales and Northern Ireland and Iceland and what they've achieved in recent seasons, you know, why shouldn't Scotland be up there? I mean, I do disagree slightly with Andy, the fact he says he doesn't think he'll see them. I don't think we might not see them in a World Cup, but
the
I think the newly expanded version of the European Championship, I mean, it's almost harder not to qualify.
It's about 400 teams that qualify.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
they might have a chance.
It's becoming preposterous. So I mean, so there is a chance. You know, the process, the qualifying process for the Euros is becoming much, much easier than it is for the World Cup. So I mean, I don't see why we shouldn't be up there. You know, if the nations that just mentioned it, if they can do it, you know, smaller nations in Scotland by far, you know, smaller player pools, but they're clearly doing something right that we're not doing. So yeah, I do think we will get there eventually, but as I say, I think it'll be the Euros rather than a World Cup.
Well, what about England, Andy? Because they do continually qualify. They almost go unbeaten to qualify, yet they get to tournaments and they do nothing. Mm. The last tournament in France last summer, Iceland knocked them out. Mm. I mean, what can you say about them, and why do you think they toil so badly at major tournaments? Brazil, the World Cup before that.
I think just what I touched on earlier. I think there has been a serious lack of leadership. I think there's been maybe too many players in it for themselves, and I think that's what Gareth Southgate has attempted to fix and to try and bring back a harmony that probably hasn't existed. When you get to these, as you say, that you know, the England make it easy in terms of qualifying. It's when they get to these major finals, the pressure on these players, you know, probably the most significant of all the teams, because you know England expects, don't they? I mean, they expect to come up here and win on Saturday. That's a given. I just think there has been individually, they have some, you know, over the last 10-15 years have had some incredible players: Gerrard, Scholes, Beckham, Lampard, all these guys, Rooney, Michael Owen. But for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put that to one side and come together as a team, and that's where they've been found wanting, certainly when they've reached the major finals. And I think very cleverly and very shrewdly on his part, that is what Southgate has identified as being the problem. Bear in mind, he was there, you know, Euro 96, he was there at the World Cup 98, so he's had first hand experience of perhaps cliques in amongst the international setup, and he's obviously tried to put an end to that, create a team spirit, create a unity. And you know, when you think back to the game at Wembley, he was just in the job, and there was, you know, people kind of, well, you know, is he cut out for this? Too quiet? He's come in, I think he's done a terrific job, and it just intensifies my anxiety ahead of the game on Saturday.
I mean, as Andy touched on there, Colin, they were going and doing assault courses and getting dressed up in camouflage and diving about in mud. And I mean, is that the sort of thing you'd expect from an England team 4 or 5 days before a Scotland game? Or is that, as Andy says, is that a good thing? You think he's trying to build morale, and can you understand what he's trying to do? There's part of me can't quite understand why you would do that a week before, or less than a week before a Scotland game.
I think, you know, there's various reasons. I agree with Andy. I think Gareth Southgate will be proved to be a good England manager. I like where he's coming from. I like what he's trying to do. The fact that also he's getting rid of Wayne Rooney, I think he was one of the biggest obstacles that was holding that England team back. You know, he'd just been part of the furniture for so long, and the managers, for whatever reason, just couldn't dispose of him. I think, you know, Southgate's come in and he's been ruthless.
That was a brave call, that, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a big call.
Very, very big call. When people say he's too quiet, he hasn't got the backbone, well, I think he's already proved that. And to get back to your point about the assault course, I think it's a terrific idea. In fact, it gets the guys working together, working. It also takes their mind off the game. You know, to go and do that, I think they did it for 2 or 3 days. No, it wasn't just an afternoon here. Yeah. It was like 3 days solid doing different things. So your mind's not on it. When, you know, the lead up to a big game, you don't want too much downtime. You don't want too much thinking time about the occasion, what's at stake, the pressure. I think it's been a real masterstroke with Gary Southgate to do that. Plus, as well, you're training in that training environment. You go up, you get your breakfast, you go train, you get back to your room, you rest, you spend a lot of time on your own, you're on your phone. You also ban phones, tablets, laptops, all that thing, nothing at all. So basically, they're just going, form friendships, get a strong bond together. Yeah, I think that was a real shrewd move by England to do that.
I think we'll have to get ourselves into a boot camp sometime soon, Andy. What do you reckon? That boost morale at Sunsport?
Yeah.
What about predictions then, finally, before we wrap up this podcast? Colin, what's your big scoreline prediction for the game at Hampden?
I'm going to go for an entertaining 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw, we take that. Andy, you're not so sure. You've got a look of anxiety on your face here.
I think we'll score, but I also think England will score. I think we'll score more than us, so I'll go 3-1 England.
3-1 England. Well, personally, I think Scotland can win this game, and I'll go for 1-0 Scotland.
He's been drinking.
Thanks very much for listening to today's podcast. Myself, Robert Grieve, with me today was Andy Devlin and Colin Duncan. We wish Scotland all the best at Hampden on Saturday. Hopefully Gordon Strachan and the boys can get a result that keeps this World Cup campaign alive.